Well, we've been doing a series in 1 Corinthians called Learning from a Worldly Church, and the title of this evening's message is Who Am I? And it's a look at self-image. Self-esteem, self-worth, self-image, and self-acceptance are all terms commonly used in our world to describe the way we think and feel about ourselves. They suggest that we all have a certain way of looking at ourselves that causes us to feel adequate or inadequate, likable or unlikable, lovable or unlovable, valuable or worthless. The way we feel about ourselves depends largely on our response to the feedback that we have received from certain important people in our lives. If these people have helped us to feel important and loved, then it's likely that we have a good self-image. If they have given us reason to feel inadequate or unneeded, then it is likely that we will have a negative or a poor self-image. If we have a good self-image, we'll be apt to be thinking about ourselves in this kind of way. I am a success. I have a lot to offer others. I like the way I look. A lot of people appreciate me. But if we have a poor self-image, we're apt to find ourselves thinking, I feel like a failure. I don't have anything to offer. I don't like the way I look. I don't know how anybody could love me. Why try? You may recognize yourself in some of that. As far as they go, these are reasonable observations on the way we are. But that is as far as psychology can go. Psychology can only deal with self. It does not deal with God. And because psychology leaves out the most important element in the picture, it actually distorts the picture of who we are. We are Christians, and we need a biblical view of ourselves in this world. Those who have a good self-image tend to have a problem with pride. Psychology does not recognize a good self-image as a problem. Yet it is a problem for the Christian. Also, those with a poor self-image tend to be immobilized. They feel like they just can't do anything right. Psychology can't recognize how bringing God into that picture is going to help that person. To have a good self-image or to have a poor self-image is actually a problem to the Christian because God is left out of the picture. When God is brought into the picture is no longer focused on self, good or bad, but what I am in Christ. We need to bring God into focus to consider, as we consider, who we are. We have come to a really profound piece of scripture. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, has given us exactly what we need, and it impacts our lives at a deep level, but few have recognized the treasures that are here. In these verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 26 to 31, Paul describes the whole picture of who I am, describing first the background and then focusing in on the foreground, the whole picture of who we are. The background of who I am is described in verses 26 to 29. Of myself, I am nothing. Of myself, I am nothing. Now, this part of the message is for those with a good self-image. Paul will destroy that good self-image. He gives the reality. What we are of ourselves is painted with a few broad strokes in these verses. First of all, we are stupid, not smart. We are stupid, not smart. We are stupid as the world sees it. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh are called. And verse 27 at the beginning, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the things that are wise. So we're not wise, we are foolish according to those verses. That's us. God has chosen the foolish, the stupid, the dumb, the idiots as seen by the world. Why? First of all, to put to shame the wise, verse 27, to bring to nothing the things that are, verse 28, and so that no flesh should boast in his presence, verse 29. Not many of us are intellectuals. Not many. And even though intellectuals amongst us are seen as foolish by the world, the documentary Expelled details this reality in the 21st century. If you believe in creation, you are expelled from the academic scientific community, which sees creation as so foolish. You can't be a real scientist and still believe in creation, can you? And so some of the best minds of our age are treated as stupid. Yeah, but these intellectuals are the minority. Not many wise are called. Reality number one, we're stupid as far as the world is concerned. Now that's sobering to those with a good self-image, because that self-image comes from the way others see us and they think we're foolish. Number two, the second broad stroke with which Paul paints us is we are weak, not powerful. We are weak, not powerful. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, not many mighty are called. And the second part of verse 27, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. Okay, not many mighty, but weak. Few of us are influential or powerful. That's the idea of that word mighty there. It has to do with influence in the world. Verse 28, right at the end says, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God is not looking for brainiacs to save and to do his work. Nor is he looking for millionaires to save and do his work, or famous sports people or entertainers or statesmen. His salvation is open to the elite just as surely as it is to others, but only on the same basis of faith as it is open to all of us. That is so hard for the elite. It is pride in and dependence on their accomplishment and abilities that keeps them out of the kingdom. The pride that is associated with a good self-image keeps the elite out of the kingdom and prevents those who have come into the kingdom on a dependent, walking in a dependent relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so healthy to accept the valuation, God has chosen the weak things of the world, that's us. Certainly from time to time, God will choose a truly influential person to get his work done. What about the example of William Wilberforce? Almost single-handedly, he changed the attitude in Britain to slavery and thereby the whole Western world in their attitude to slavery. Or John Wesley was often helped by Lady Huntington of English nobility, this gracious woman who gave of her time and her talent and treasure to the Lord, often testified, I am only going to heaven through the letter M. How thankful I am that Paul did not say that not any mighty are called. Therefore, I am only going to heaven through the letter M, not many influential are called. When we accept the evaluation, the reality that we are not wise, we are not mighty, we are humbled. Yes, Lord, that's true of me. The third broad stroke with which Paul paints us is we are fringe. We are hated. We are nothings, not celebrities. Did you like that? We are fringe. We are hated. We are nothings, not celebrities. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, not many noble are called. And verse 28. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We have nothing to boast about, nothing of which to be proud, nothing to give us a good self-image. In verse 28, circle base, circle despised, circle not the things that are not. Base means without kin. That means not anybody important, not connected socially. So it is also translated lowly. Well, that sounds like Christ, doesn't it? Unimportant and worthless. Despised is a good translation. It also means to be set at naught. What are we worth? Zero to the world. This word and the next word, the word not, were used of slaves, something less than human. Not refers to the things that do not exist. Slaves were ignored socially. They were treated as just as if they weren't there in the social situation. We are hated, we are useless, we are zeros. How does that help your self-esteem? It is the reality in this world. It's healthy to know this if we have a tendency to pride. People are not impressed by us. In AD 178, the philosopher Celsus mockingly wrote of Christians, "Let no cultured person draw near, none wise and none sensible. But if a man is ignorant, if any man is wanting in sense and culture, if anybody is a fool, let him come boldly to be a Christian." We see them in their houses, wool dressers, cobblers, the worst, the vulgarest, the most uneducated persons. They are like a swarm of bats, ants creeping out of their nest, frogs holding a symposium around a swamp, or worms convening in mud. That's us. How's it going? Is your good self-image holding up? If self-image comes from those around us, reality is pretty confronting, isn't it? The world doesn't think much of us. The fourth broad stroke with which we are painted is we are not to be praised but God. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And verse 31, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. In and of ourselves, we have nothing to boast about. The evaluation has been, we are idiots, we have no influence, we are hated, we are nothing. So there is no way that we can be proud, nothing to feed a good self-image. And that is why Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Yes, we are going to think about ourselves. This verse says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We are going to think about ourselves, but get the right picture of self. The picture of self is not that good. Think soberly, think sensibly, get the reality about ourselves. So how did Paul think about himself? In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, Paul talks about his worth as an apostle. He says in that verse, "For I am the least of the apostles, who are not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he makes this comment, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11, "For in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing." Though I am nothing. Paul was forgiven, but he never forgot what he was. He was a persecutor of God's people. That was humbling, yet God gave him a role that was no less important than any other role of his time. Though Paul yet evaluated himself as nothing. "The world sees me as nothing," he said, "and I am nothing." Did the Holy Spirit write that just for Paul? Isn't this for us also? Well, if Paul was the least of the apostles, what about his status as a Christian? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. "To me, who am the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Isn't Paul modeling something here? Shouldn't we have a similar self-evaluation to the great apostle? In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul confesses, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And I have heard some say, if Paul is the chief of sinners, and that is written by the Holy Spirit, to say that I am the chief of sinners is contradicting the Scripture. Is it really? Isn't it simply being humble by knowing who we are of ourselves, that we, of all people, should be called to be a child of God? Shouldn't I see myself as a chief of sinners? Doesn't the Holy Spirit apply that verse to your heart too? Is there a skerrick of good self-image left? I hope not. Because a good self-image is absolutely devastating to the Christian life, which is a life of Christ dependence, not self-dependence. See, this Christ dependence is just what the world laughs at. The world prides itself on self-dependent and independent living. The world scoffs at Christians because Christians need a crutch. They can't do it themselves, the world smirks. So they have their religion as a crutch. These Christians are so weak. But the world is like a patient with a broken leg saying, "I don't need a crutch." And with each step, they make things worse for themselves. It's good to know when you need a crutch, and the whole world needs a crutch, because no man of himself is good enough. But good self-image won't let you admit the need. Reality, seeing myself as true, is what I need. I am nothing, I have nothing to boast about, and I need a saviour. But poor self-image is not the answer either. Okay, the background of who I am is I am nothing. But the foreground of who I am, let's adjust the focus on the lens so that the foreground comes into view. The foreground of who I am is what I am in Christ. What I am in Christ. This part of the message is for those with a poor self-image. In the foreground, we see Christ. If at all the person is a Christian, right there, up front in their lives, is Christ. When God looks at them, he sees Christ, for they are in Christ. Verse 30 says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." Do you see the first part of that verse? "But of him you are in Christ Jesus." You are in Christ. The world sees us as nothing, and we are nothing, but that changes in Christ. "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." In Christ we are something. We are wise, we are righteous, we are set apart, and we are saved. First, in Christ, the Christian is wise. Because the believer is in Christ, he is seen as having Christ's wisdom. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3 describes the extent of Christ's wisdom, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we are in him, praise God. But further, because we are now in Christ, having the resources of the Holy Spirit and having the resources of the Word of God, we're growing into wisdom. Yes, we are counted in him as having his wisdom, and we grow into that wisdom. Now, we all carry around a picture of ourselves in our heart. If we have a poor self-image, we may socially withdraw. We may be anxious about events in life. We may relate poorly to others. We may eat to feel better or not eat to feel better. We may deny compliments. We may be unfair to ourselves. We may accentuate the negative. We may be overly concerned with what other people think. We may neglect proper care of ourselves. We may treat ourselves badly. We may worry that we've treated others badly. We may be reluctant to take on challenges, be reluctant to put ourselves forward for service, for example, mistrust our own opinion, expect little out of life. You see, a poor self-image is dangerous too. A poor self-image will limit our relationships with people and our service for the Lord Jesus. A good self-image is dangerous, but equally a bad self-image is dangerous. Therefore, we do not encourage people by telling them that they can or telling them how well they are really doing in themselves. We encourage our brothers and sisters by reminding them of the character of God, of what they are in Christ, of what He is doing through them. That changes the picture that we carry in our hearts. Christ is in the foreground and Christ is in focus. And yes, we are wise in Him. Second, in Christ, the Christian is righteous. Verse 30. "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us righteousness. Because the believer is in Christ, he is seen as having Christ's righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So we're counted as righteous, but further, because we're in him, we now have the resources of the Holy Spirit, and we have the resources of the Word of God, and we're growing into his righteousness. We are righteous, but we're growing towards that righteousness. If we all carry a self-image in our hearts, and we do, we kind of see ourselves the way it's been reflected to us from others. And if a good self-image is harmful, and if a poor self-image is harmful, what is a helpful self-image? A self-image that has both the background and the foreground in the picture. A self-image that is real. What I am of myself is there, but also what I am in Christ is there. I see that of myself I am nothing, but I see that in Christ I am a prince, and I am an ambassador, and I am a saint in him. And in regard to righteousness, I see of myself I am a sinner, but I am made the righteousness of God in him, a sinner made righteous. Remembering myself as a sinner prevents pride and self-confidence. Remembering myself as righteous prevents that withdrawing from others and withdrawing from trying to serve Christ in some kind of shame. You see, I now have Christ to offer. That's the full picture. It's just as important to believe and appropriate my righteousness as it is to believe that I am a sinner. You see, an appropriate image of self does not concentrate on self at all, good or bad. An appropriate image of self concentrates on Christ. Who am I? Who am I cannot be answered by just what I am of myself. At the forefront of who am I is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is an encouragement. That releases for ministry. That removes the shame that the world places on me. Christ is what I am, his wisdom and his righteousness. Third, in Christ the Christian is set apart. He is set apart. The word in verse 30 is sanctification. Let's read verse 30 again. "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us sanctification." Paul emphasizes that our sanctification is in Christ in chapter 1 and verse 2. In that verse he says, "To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." We are made wise. We are made righteous. We are sanctified in Christ. So the complete picture is we are sinners saved by grace. But when I mentioned that to a friend recently, they said, "The New Testament never describes us that way. We are described as saints." Yes, we are described as saints. And no, you won't find the words sinners saved by grace. But you will find that attitude that we're sinners saved by grace, because it is the full picture. In fact, it is the point of this particular passage in Corinthians. We are nothing, but in him we are everything. In ourselves we are nothing, but in Christ we are princes and ambassadors, and in him we are saints. I don't want to leave out the sinner part, because I tend to be proud, and remembering I'm a sinner puts me in my place. I don't want to leave out the saved by grace part, for indeed I am a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Sinner saved by grace is a good representation of who I am. The fourth description of the Christian in Christ is saved. Verse 30. "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us redemption." Redeemed, bought back, saved. We are saved in Christ. All our worth is found in Christ, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So then verse 31 says that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. I found over the years that if I accepted a compliment, I could and often would start feeling proud. Then that pride would cut me off from the very life of Christ that I needed to live the Christian life. And I was on my own. Therefore, I am learning not to accept a compliment. If you have tried to compliment me for something, you've probably heard me say something like, if it's good, it's the Lord, the rest is me. And so I want to cast all compliments at his feet. If it is truly good, it is of him. Verse 31 says, and that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Won't you give all glory to God? Any wisdom or righteousness or accomplishment that is good, doesn't it come from God? Isn't there a poise and a balance and a peace with self in all of this? Can't you see it's so healthy to have the full picture of who we are as Christians? So then I would not talk about self-esteem as though I had anything to offer. I would talk about a sense of worth. What I have to offer is Christ, and he has given me worth by loving me despite what I am. This is the position of the Scriptures, and I am a sinner saved by grace. There is both humility and worth in that assessment. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, what can we do except fall at your feet and thank you that you would make us part of your family? This assessment by the world brings us to our senses. And Lord, we've got to say, we are nothing. The world thinks we're nothing, and we are nothing, as Paul makes that assessment of himself. And yet, Lord, in you, we are everything. Praise God. Why have you done that for us? But we thank you for it, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.